Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number one, G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Pluckers in Plano on Preston Road. Broadus is in his bow tie. He is draft ready. Woolchuck's in a flipping suit right here. Look at this stud muffin, the Woolly Bully.
Damn, he looks good.
As, you know, our draft coverage is coming up at 6 o'clock. This is a four-hour draft pregame show. General at your service. If you see me, bear me, N.A. There is Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout Super Bowl champion, here ready to go deep into the night.
Deep.
Covering this draft night one. Lucius Alexander is back home in the Pimp Cup Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh, doing the best he can to keep the Gators down. And he's fixing to go 4 hours flawless, as per usual. Woolchuck and Schiafalo are here. Ruben Portillo, remote engineering. Carter Freeman, coordinating your video. And we'd like to join you, we'd like to invite you to join us, actually, at one of the Pluckers locations here tonight. I believe this has become part of North Texas draft history. Joining the Fan at one of the Pluckers locations for a draft night party. Where are you going to be tonight, Chief?
I'm going to be partying it up in Grapevine, man. Looking forward to hanging out with some incredible Tolos. Every year that I've done Grapevine, it has just outdone itself.
There you go.
It's phenomenal.
It's building upon itself, and that is why you got to make sure you listen to the Fan every single day, because we have been counting down to this draft for a long time. There's been a lot of ebbs and flows and narrative changes. We thought the big decision was going to be Jenty. Now it turns out he's so dang good, teams might be trading up into the top five to get Jenty, so can't do that. But I tell you what, before we do anything, guys, Shannon Sharp said about 10 minutes ago, This relationship was 100% consensual, okay? But, yes, ma'am, Diet Coke, I'd love it. He is stepping away from his duties at ESPN for now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, it might be about to get Trevor Bauer, if you ask me.
Yeah, there's a real chance of that. I mean, you could just tell when Stephen A. Smith was talking about it on his show the other day. He did not sound like a guy that was confident that we'd be seeing much more of Shannon Sharp on First Take on ESPN. And then, you know, I guess it's just it's too noisy right now for Walt Disney to feel comfortable rocking and rolling with this thing. So we'll see how it ends up. But yeah, this makes perfect sense that he's going to have to. No more screen time for you right now, Shannon. There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on, and it's probably not best for business if you're ESPN. I don't know if I want to live in a world where people can be, like, on the line of kinking. You know, they're having themselves a time. And I definitely don't want to live in a world where we look the other way. If there's abuse going on, I don't want to live in that world either. But I think there's a lot of this kink stuff going on with these people choking each other.
So much kinks,
You know?
Yeah, I think so. You know, professional athletes, actors, actresses, a lot going on in that world, you know?
Yeah.
You never hear the word no. You
Sounds know, weird.
Always, yeah. And I know Shannon very well. I know Sterling very well. Worked their football camp in Columbia, South Carolina. Probably didn't detect at the time that all that stuff was going on. But These guys like to have a good time. I knew that.
I think it's pretty common.
Yeah.
And I don't like the idea that you could get wrapped up in some, you know, some bedroom activity like that, and the next thing you know, the world is saying, well, you can't be in this baseball league anymore. You can't be on television anymore. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem right to me, Chief.
Well, if it's a step away thing, this isn't ESPN saying, hey, we're done with you, Shannon Sharpe. This is Shannon Sharpe coming out and saying, I'm stepping away right now. Things are pretty hot. There are repercussions for our decisions that we make as adults. No one's throwing him behind bars right now. No one's kicking him forever off of ESPN, at least from what I understand. So, hey, things are hot. This
might be him just taking a mental health break.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Maybe it's him raising his hand saying, this is what I need to do. Maybe it's ESPN's nudging him to do it. But nonetheless, it's not like he's being punished in some huge way at the moment. This is what happens. If you're going to dip into the world of 19-year-old OnlyFans chicks, then sometimes the formula is going to equal you're effed. And maybe you didn't do anything, but you swam in those waters. Those are dangerous waters.
These are two consenting adults, though, you know?
Well,
there's nothing criminal about dating an OnlyFans model.
No, nothing criminal at all. And I'm not punishing him criminally right now for it. This is part of life. Unfortunately, if you're going to make decisions at 55 years old, you're making a 19-year-old decision at 55 years old.
I would say, for me, the fault is bigger that we live in a place where the public is going to assume, for whatever reason here, that Shannon Sharpe has done something wrong.
Sure,
right. I don't think the bigger wrong thing is to date a 19-year-old if you're 55. She likes older, fit guys.
Are willing to pay for it a little bit. Allegedly, according to lawsuits, according to text, $25,000 per cheek.
Really?
Yeah. That was
apparently the Hornacek face did not stop the Heine from getting $25,000 a pop.
No, she's been working on the Heine.
Well, that can get you run out of a broadcast job if you're paying for it.
And I don't know that he is, but her texts involve.
That's the allegation.
Right.
From her.
That's part of what we've seen.
She's OnlyFans. She's taking money.
Maybe not from Shannon, yeah. but from other people.
Some of these OnlyFans gals are, you know, they're having regular dating relationships, probably outside of the money taking.
Yeah,
you know? I wouldn't want to date somebody that was paying money.
Yeah, I don't think
that'd be weird.
I don't think that she's looking at this as an opportunity. I'm sure he makes a lot of money. I don't think she's doing this for free. I don't think she's doing this because she likes 55-year-old guys choking her and stuff like that. I think there's some stuff involved here.
Sounds like she liked the choking right up until she didn't.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what he's going to have to try and prove.
Now, he said 100% consensual. Is this one of those moments where you get hyperbolic with the percentage and you start saying 1,000,000%? You know, you start saying 1,000% if you're counseling him, or do you just stick with the tried and true 100%? Because you hear it all the time. Oh, I'm 200% certain. I'm 1,000,000% certain.
I think this calls for at least 10,000.
Maybe 10,000?
Yeah, the stakes are high right now, Chief. That's a good point. Okay, Broadus is going to expose his big board to the world. Woo. Coming up at 3:40 in Krusty's Corner. Who are you taking in your final mock for the Cowboys, Brian?
I tell you what, I've been struggling with this all morning because there's just – you keep talking to folks and they're into this mode of maybe McMillan's not going to be there. I want to believe that they would take Tet McMillan. But if Tet McMillan is not there, I think this thing is completely wide open to now how does the stack look. I don't think it's necessarily like Golden's a slam dunk there. I don't think Ibuka's a slam dunk there. I don't think Booker's a slam dunk there. I mean, I think that they're going to have to maybe that's what they were talking about the other day, that the board wasn't completely ready and right for them.
Yeah.
Maybe they were working through the scenarios that Tet McMillan is not going to be on that board. And if that's the case, then it's going to open them up for a lot of different avenues. I think Banks at Texas is in play. I think Booker's in play. I mean, I think that there's the corners in play there. I also,
not too bad.
I don't think that they really are as high on a guy like Memboo if he was there, or Mason Graham, the tackle from Michigan, as maybe the media scouts are.
There was just a mock where Memboo did get to 12. Who was that? Was that
I think
Jeremiah?
It was, I think it was maybe Lance Zierlein.
Lance Zierlein, that's right.
Yeah, I think
he
it was Lance Zierlein.
Getting there to 12.
A lot of whispers going on right now, talking to people in Green Bay currently, that that Jacksonville is trying to get to two, and they're going to maybe look at Hunter there. They're holding on Hunter at two. They could take Jinty at five, and if they move back, they could take Tet McMillan.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think, you know, Membu, Booker, Banks, you give me one of these offensive linemen at 12, I'd be ecstatic. I want to replace right guard and tackle. I would settle for just one of the two. But right now we know Guyton wasn't good and he's unprofessional, so I think relying on him would be bad team management. I think Guyton becoming a good starter at this point would be a surprise, and I would hope that it could happen here, but I can't bet on that. Who would be the players tonight at 12 that you're having to, like, try to hide frustration on your home of the Cowboys, right? You're like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they just did that. I would bet for you guys it's Walter Nolan.
Yeah.
Is that the king of that board?
There's a really good chance that Walter Nolan is going to go. Again, this is all coming from folk in Green Bay, that they believe that Walter Nolan's going to go ahead of you at 11. The need for defensive tackle at San Francisco is that much that Walter Nolan would be their pick at 11. Walter Nolan is a fine player. There are some things about him that you would absolutely have to get used to and find a way to say, okay, is this going to be the way it is, or is this the way it's going to be? So I think there are more questions about that than really the playability with him.
Your needs at offensive line are so significant, right? And wide receiver too, significant.
Yeah.
Taking a defensive player here, now that we're on draft day, it just seems like it would be a surprise.
Oh, well, I think to me what Albert Breer is talking about with taking Gray Zabel, excuse me. God, I'm getting too many things in my head.
A lot of names.
Gray Zabel in my taking him at 12. I think that is an absolute consideration for them. They're looking at these offensive linemen.
And Gray Zabel's a center?
He's a tackle that can play guard, that can play center. If he were to play center, he would probably mean you would move Beebe. They've talked about, hey, we're really not interested in moving Beebe. If that's the case,
was he a 30 visit?
He was not.
We don't know. It's possible that he was.
Yeah, because we're missing five names.
Okay,
we're missing five names on that. So, you know, Booker, we know Booker, we know Banks. They could draft if they want to just draft a true pure guard. You take Booker and go on about your day.
I do think if they end up stuck at 12. And Tet's not there, it probably comes down to Golden or Walter Nolan. I think that would probably end up being the pick there. There might be a split on who likes Golden more, who likes Igbuka more. Scouts might like Golden. There might be some sponsors of some coaches that like Igbuka.
Yeah.
And the man that he is. And he's got a connection with the new wide receivers coach as well, who was recruiting him to go play at Washington. So, I mean, who would win out in that battle? The Gray Zabel thing, I mean, I was listening this morning, and Nick Harris did a great job with Bobby and Sean, and Bobby freaked out. I would not be upset with Gray Zabel. Do I think 12's a little high? Maybe. But Gray Zabel, to me, is a really good player. And you talked about the position flex. He did play left tackle last year,
yeah.
Dawson. I think Brian and I, we both look at him kicking inside. That's better for him.
Yeah.
Dane Brugler's got him as the best center in the draft.
See,
I could see him being a really good guard.
That's a projection there because we've seen him play center at the Senior Bowl.
Well, he played center in high school.
Well, okay.
But yes.
Yeah.
But he took reps, yeah. Yes, at
the
Senior Bowl.
High school film?
We know backstories, baby.
Well,
we know backstories.
He's got it. He's got it in his background. That's all it is.
You think he's athletic enough to cut the defense in half, Brian?
I tell you what, though, the guy has got some really good movement skills. And, you know, we talk about the level. That's a championship program for a lot of years. They played the University of Colorado to open the season. He did not look out of place one bit playing in that game. His athletic ability can get it done.
Gray Zabel, you got so many fun options here, and this thing
it's
going to
be if McMillan's not on that board, it's going to get nuts when we're talking about them on the clock.
It's gonna be fun.
Well, speaking of nuts, the Dallas Stars have led this series for all of 1 minute and 2 seconds, and of game time, and they lead the series 2-1. After just an amazing night, one of the best nights ever to be a Dallas Stars fan. Jamie Benn's been on a mission the last couple of nights, hitting the hell out of people, skating faster than he's skated in a while. Game-tying goal. And then Tyler Seguin. Yeah, Stars had to kill the long, long power play to end regulation and into overtime again. And the kill was golden all night. The Colorado's talking about we have to change our power play now because the Stars are so damn good at it.
Well, yeah, the adjustments that Dallas has made is making sure that MacKinnon does not have space to work with. You know, you take your point man on the kill, the defenseman, and move forward and try and make him have to make a decision right off the jump. They were talking about his ability to play MacKinnon play downhill. And that's when he's attacking, that's when he's really, really tough. And Dallas has taken away that his ability to play downhill. Now, some of the backdoor stuff was open. Dallas got a little fortunate that pucks were tipped away at the time. Some great great job of
Lindell had a great, huge play.
Great job of clearing it off the crease. A lot of that going on. Sometimes you have to be good that way to win these games. Dallas was very good at that last night.
Colorado complaining, obviously. They got the call that led to the Jamie Benn goal, which I think was, it was a bit of a makeup call, in my opinion, because I think the Stars got screwed on the initial tripping call that Colorado was able to end up scoring.
And so, an interference, probably.
Yeah, and so things ended up evening out there, but what an unbelievable performance by the Dallas Stars last night, and Jake Oettinger.
I'm really surprised, though, Colorado's first goal was not reviewed for interference with the pick. You know, we see those calls. You know, 4-on-4 hockey, we see those kind of calls. You can't do that, you can't interfere that way. And it was clearly it looked like a really nice play with the way that it came off. But, yeah, I'm surprised that the league didn't say, no, that's interference, that's a pick. You can't do that. They let that one stand.
That was unfair to Otter, man. I felt bad for him. Very vulnerable position to be in. Goodness.
The Valnutchuk can play. Like, shout out to him.
That was incredible.
That was nasty. It was absolutely filthy. But Otter overall was really good. And I'll tell you, this young line that they've got on the back end with Harley and Petrov, those two played together in the AHL, they're getting better every night. And Bischel took a wicked shot there in the midsection that looked a little bit rough, but – man, all of a sudden, you've now stolen one in Colorado.
Yes.
You're weathering an emotional storm with the Landeskog return. This is exciting for the Stars, considering you're hoping to get Miro Heiskanen back maybe as early as Game 4. And then if you're able to advance, then we can talk about maybe get Robertson back down the line.
You know what? And this is going to sound crazy. I think when the penalty, the four-minute penalty came on with it being late in the period like that, I think it gave Dallas a little bit of a chance. Okay, kill off those 40 seconds or so. Now let's go into the room and regroup. Everybody take off our pads. We're going to talk about how we're going to kill the rest of this 3-minute, 30-second penalty that we have to do. I think if they would have had to do that at the end of that period, we might see a different outlook there. Because
unbelievable.
They were able to kill that little bit of time off, get back to the room, talk about it, regroup, and came out. I was a little bit worried with a clean sheet of ice that Colorado was going to like do some damage there, but Dallas did a great job of holding up there.
Yeah, really. I mean, just the games they've been able to pull off in this run over the last six seasons. Now you want to go back to the bubble?
Yeah,
they're not done. They're pulling games out in the third period once again, and they go from a spot where they're going to be down 2-1. I felt like all night we're just moments away from them being down 2-1 and hoping Miro comes back, to now thinking, holy crap, maybe it's game on here for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So salute to those guys, and salute to the coach for having the answers once again.
Yeah, you're going to get Colorado's absolute best effort, like much like Dallas did in Game 2, to try and get that game. Colorado now can't lose this game.
You're looking at a desperate team.
You're looking at the desperate team there, yeah.
Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We're live. Pluckers in Plano. Woolchuk's top 10 at 220 is coming up next. What's the subject matter looking like?
Well, my gosh, it's draft day. I'll give you some draft news, but let's get into the top 10 best wing flavors. What are the most popular wing flavors in America as we party at Pluckers in Plano?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We are back. We are live at Pluckers in Plano, and you can join us all at one of the Pluckers locations around North Texas this evening for our draft party. Our coverage starts at 6 o'clock. Broaddus and Wolchuk are actually going to head to the Star at about 5 o'clock, and they're going to join us for a crosstalk late in that 5 o'clock hour as they get set for tonight's coverage, which should probably go in about the 11 o'clock hour, about around then. And then, you know, the Jones boys and the coaches will have a press conference tonight for you, kind of give us their thoughts on how things went. So it's going to be really amazing here over the next 8 hours plus on your home of the Cowboys. Excited to, you know, bring you this coverage, the best draft coverage in the entire world. Draft coverage other radio stations are not capable of providing. It's what you get here on The Fan.
They kind of feel like that the Dallas' pick will be made between 8:16 and 8:28 tonight, depending on the speed of the draft. But that's kind of where they think the first-round pick will fall.
A draft-themed top 10 at 2:20 here with the Woolly Bully is up now. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids as well. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you. What is your favorite wing flavor? 877-881-1053. We'll get to the top 10 most popular wing flavors in all of the USA. In honor of our draft coverage here at Pluckers, where the Plano location is, Dawson said, and I love it here, just down the street from my house. This is definitely my local watering hole. It's the best place to be. But, fellas, football guy of the day on the line. All right, let's start this.
Ooh.
I got to empty out my draft junk drawer here.
Okay. Unload the clip.
The schools that have produced the most NFL draft picks, the college that has pumped out the most NFL talent, I've got the top nine here.
All time? Is this all time?
All time. This is heading into this year's draft. Which schools do you think have pumped out the most?
This is just drafted in general, not
just
first
drafted,
rounders.
Just drafted.
The Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University is not one,
what?
Not two, but is number three.
Okay.
With 489 draft picks selected.
Let's go with the Michigan Wolverines.
Michigan, not one, not two, not three, not four, but number five. 415 players the Michigan Wolverines have had selected.
Let's go the Men of Troy, USC.
USC at number two, the Trojans with 530 draft picks selected. Most recently, the first overall pick, Caleb Williams.
Let's go Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, the Fightin' Irish, number one.
Mm.
Number
one. The Golden Domers.
Notre Dame, 532 players drafted out of South Bend.
That's the ultimate compiler stat, though, right? Like, just because they've been around the longest?
They're kind of washed up as far as being an elite program, if you ask me.
One school in the top five you guys have not hit yet.
Okay, that's going to be Texas?
Not Texas. Texas is not in the top nine.
Alabama.
Alabama just outside of the top five. They come in at number six, 411 picks.
Penn State.
Penn State at seven, 389.
Miami.
Not the U.
No,
the U, the U isn't in the top nine. There's another big blue blood program.
OU.
OU coming in at number four. 417 players drafted for the fight, and Carter Freeman's there. So pretty impressive. And tonight, I mean, you'll have those schools definitely adding to that list. There are players, especially from Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah.
Could be a big-time draft. for the Buckeyes tonight, depending on how many first-rounders go. Did get information that we'll share later on in terms of, like, maybe some players that could be flagged. Also some rumors when it comes to, like, what could happen in the top 10 trade-wise.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, we got some fun audio on Tet McMillan that we'll play a little bit later. But let's get into the top 10 wing flavors, shall we? 877-881-1053. What's your go-to wing flavor? And I will say at Pluckers, which will be number 10 on the list. I mean, I'm a big Gold Rush guy. You know that about me, Eric.
Yes.
I think it's absolutely divine. I love the Gold Rush here at Pluckers.
I do, too, because it's a very unique sort of one-of-one flavor.
What is it a combination of?
That's a good question. I need to pull up the menu. It's like a sweet
heat.
Is it got honey with hot sriracha
kind of a
flavor?
Yeah, something similar to that.
It leans sweeter than...
Is it habanero-like?
And hotter. No.
It's like a spicy barbecue almost.
It's a light barbecue kind of flavor, but I think there's a lot of honey involved.
Dawson's got the play sheet in front of him right there. He's trying to figure it all out.
Wow, he actually does look like
I'm Rob Ryan over here.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Sweet and tangy is what it says. It's a specialty. It does not get the flames next to it.
No flames.
No flames in the Gold Rush.
It's a flame-free environment.
With the spicy mandarin or the fire in the hole. You know, pretty good names over here.
Weak, because I don't get a flame.
How about
next
the vampire killers? That sounds great. The heat from this spicy garlic is strong enough to wake the undead. We need some vampire killers over here, Brian.
Oh my gosh!
Garlic.
Light this candle.
How about
wake the undead?
Sitting in that booth tonight with all of us, like it's like a submarine anyway, and me just reeking garlic. That would be great.
Oh, yeah, that's true,
man. No, thank you.
You can't be going
on dead garlic.
We got seven guys in there.
Yeah, you're just scared. It's unfair to your
teammates. No, I'm not scared. I'm worried about what's the messiest thing that would – because I do have a shirt in the car in case I do spill.
I mean, some of these high sauce ones like the Manganero.
Yeah.
You know, the Jamango jerk, I bet that's pretty saucy.
I bet that's fire.
The maple chipotle sounds pretty amazing and pretty saucy as well. It's probably a high paper towel, maybe a couple of wipes. Take care of that mess.
Oh, a couple of wipes. Yeah, I mean, Ruby's always got the wipes on deck. I do appreciate that about him. But, yep, shout out to the Gold Rush. Big, big fan.
All right.
Texts are flowing. 469 said, you got to try the mango one. 972 said, the smell of hot fresh bowl of traditional flavor buffalo wing cannot be topped.
Well, he makes a pretty good argument there.
I mean, it's the OG. It really, really is. Spicy garlic is goated from the 479.
Oh, I like to hear that.
The mango habanero at most places. 24K or Dr. Pepper at Pluckers is their go-to from the 469. Asian Zing from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that's popular.
I do like the Asian Zing.
I keep it pretty simple generally. Other than the Gold Rush, I would say, usually I'm tried and true. I'm getting half lemon pepper, half buffalo.
I think lemon pepper always hits. I know the wifey loves the garlic parmesan.
Yeah.
She's a big fan of the garlic parm. The hot, though, I do think is one that is always tried and true. The honey barbecue, I will say, I don't like the honey barbecue as much, and I'm probably going to get a lot of crap for this, rightly so. Not as good bone-in as it is when you get the nugs or the strips with the honey barbecue.
I can
barbecue.
Go with you on that.
Wow, okay, you prefer
if I'm going bone-in,
barbecue.
I'm going buffalo.
Okay.
Or I'm going one of these other flavors I mentioned. But if I'm going honey barbecue or barbecue, I'm probably going to go with the strip or a boneless nug.
Just got the text from DJ Pridemore. He says if you're not going for Baker's Gold, you're doing it all
Baker's
wrong.
Gold is very, very popular here.
Yeah.
There's no question.
I've never had the Baker's Gold.
Where's my guy Lemon Pepper Lou? Lucius, do you have a specific Pluckers flavor you're going to be dining on tonight?
If it was Pluckers, yes. I'm eating the Spicy Ranch.
Here we go.
With that little drizzle, that honey drizzle syrup-looking stuff, and you mix it with the ranch and just go at it, bro.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't like lemon pepper, though, but I do like that name, Lemon Pepper Lou.
Lemon Pepper Lou.
Yeah.
I think, who was it? Who was our guy, the entertainment club in Atlanta?
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams.
He's the original Lemon Pepper Lou.
And he would, yeah, he was Lemon Pepper Lou, but I like that.
I would like to get mine, like, just fried wings.
Yeah.
And you put some hot sauce on them joints and then dip them in ranch.
Oh, so you like, yourself. You can kind of control the sauce.
And absolutely.
Just go with Frank's.
Naked fried wings, bro. Naked wings. Fry them up.
Fried, yeah.
Louisiana hot sauce on them with some ranch.
The naked fried. The hot
I want
one.
Extra batter on mine, so they're extra crispy.
You want the extra fry? And yeah. Hey, I'm not. Anytime it's extra crispy, it's better that way. 214 honey pepper lemon. Honey lemon pepper by far is number one. Hallelujah, tossed with spicy ranch is the best. Okay, so number 10, I got the Gold Rush. Number 9 here, most popular wing flavors in the U.S. of A. is the Cajun.
Yeah.
Little Cajun dry rub.
It's good.
Mango habanero.
I like the way you put the sauce on
the habanero.
The enye.
Gosh,
you nailed that, dude.
Now I'm linking confidence again.
Here you go.
No,
I already had.
I was complimentary.
No, you weren't.
And
you
the really, pastry really, chef really Eric weren't. Already looks at me and goes, "Yeah, we need to get you some new suits."
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, I really? Literally just got this one. He's like, we need to get you some more colors. Like, are you kidding me right now?
This looks great. Purple, you know, is your color.
They're
We've
damn
about
expensive,
that for years,
man.
Shut up. You're wearing Crocs.
These
you know,
suits
Eric,
are expensive as hell. Yeah.
No, Walchuk looks 10 out of 10 dominant.
Not according to pastry chef Eric.
Yeah, he was watchdog.
In a new suit, he's like, bro, you need to get a new suit.
Yeah, this is the second time Walchuk's worn this suit.
I do think it looks fantastic on you.
Thanks, man.
Did he get that custom tailored?
Yeah, I did.
You tell.
I did. I needed to. Nashville Hot comes in next. The Nashville Hot Wings. We got teriyaki. How do you feel about
Brian
teriyaki?
Brian Windhorst there, Taylor?
What? Screw you, okay? Go F yourself.
Wow. Now look who's,
I didn't
look who's
say
being
that.
The bad
the
team.
The Brian Windhorst Taylor. What in the hell?
Walchuk's way taller than Windhorst.
Shots are being taken. We have a whole 3 days together in a room.
He's a wide-shouldered guy. I was just making sure. He's wide-shouldered.
I have at least one less neck.
Teriyaki and chicken is amazing, but you generally want to go with the thighs.
The thighs?
Because you want to be mixing that in a bowl of rice. And it's hard to pull enough meat off the wing bone and then put it in the rice. So just get boneless thighs and chop it up. Brian knows what I'm talking about.
The Korean flavored, like spicy Korean
tea
or anything Korean.
Yep.
Yeah, because I like a little bit of a kick or a tang of some sorts as opposed to like a super sweet. That's why the Gold Rush is unique for me because they do have just enough tang on it.
The tangy heat. Lemon pepper coming in at number 4.
That was incidental, just for the record.
Tangy heat. Garlic parm at number 3. Number 2 is honey barbecue.
Really?
Pretty good.
Honey barbecue at number 2.
Good standby.
It's pretty high. I think the kids like the honey barbecue, and that's going to move it up the list. I feel like it's a good traditional flavor.
I kind of feel like the kids don't have a very good palate.
Well, yeah, they're kids.
I feel like it's a missed opportunity.
It's not mature.
Yeah. If you're not cooking with the real fire, with honey barbecue, you know, that flavor, summer afternoon.
And we got an early nominee for Biggest L of the Week. Eric 903 texted in, please, for the love of God. Could you stop talking about Plucker's wings? I'm currently on the pre-colonoscopy.
No.
They can't have anything.
By the way,
I feel for you, man.
You feel, lady. You feel totally great after going through all that, by the way. Mm. That thing cleans you out.
Yeah, like, I get the toxins out of there.
Wow.
I feel
ya.
Like when you get to the other side of everything.
When that thing is done.
Yeah.
When it turns clear.
A little bit lighter on your feet.
Boy, you feel like you've died and gone to heaven, for sure. Mm.
But number 1 most popular wing flavor in all
Thank
of
you.
The USA.
Orange Magic, baby.
Orange Magic
Frank's Red
wings.
Hot with Holy Gospel from
Orange
Meat Church.
Orange Magic coming in at number 1, holding
boom,
it down.
Boom, boom.
Right with Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo's the classic flavor. Buffalo's goated is number 1. I'm more into the like artisan style wings. Those are mass produced wings.
Okay.
You know, a wing like
you get
mine,
it from the bag
costs too much money to, you know, pump out there like that. Probably be 40, 50 bucks a dozen. Thank you, Walchuk.
Thank you.
Top 10 at 220 every afternoon here on 105.3 The Fan, and we are at the home of the best chicken wings you can get, Plucker's. We'll be all at one of the Plucker's locations tonight. So if there's a Plucker's next to you in North Texas, get to one tonight, and you'll be hanging with a fan host and playing a fun draft party where we can win prizes and have a great time. Okay, we have a sports hodgepodge coming up next. Chief, what's in store?
Among other things, the one thing we don't want to see on ESPN's draft broadcast tonight. That's next in the Nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we're talking Stars with you. We're talking Rangers baseball. We're talking draft. It is a huge sports day. And we thank you for riding along with us. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's Sports Hodgepodge, Eric.
0-41 comes to an end. Congratulations, Jock Peterson. Just want to give him a tip to the cap on that one. I know that we
almost got tossed.
He did.
Gosh dang.
I was like, are you really going to push this, bro?
What are we doing?
Just be grateful for getting on a bag.
He didn't really get out of the box really quickly either now, too. It was kind of one of those.
Which is a little bit to be expected, but he ends it at the 0-41. He is now on the board, and hopefully
imagine,
he can soar into the sky.
Imagine getting a hit off that dude who's throwing like 107.
You know what I'm saying? That was just a blind swing. Don't you think he was just
put the bat out there and
closing
hope for the
his
best.
Eyes. Yeah. Our guy Jock getting it done. Okay, now it is the draft stuff is unbelievable right now. How about Aditi Kinkabwala stepping into the big time reporter game, putting her neck on the line. With the what I'm being told is that Jackson Dart is not going to fall beyond that number 9 pick in the Saints, dude.
Yep.
Apparently, Kellen Moore really, really likes him. And since this, I mean, this is a few hours ago that Aditi mentioned this, but and I've seen some other reports that would kind of disagree with this to some extent based on, like, oh, well, they like this guy, they like that guy. But she's going all the way out to, like, Jackson Dart is not getting past number 9. And Shedeur Sanders is now, like, his spot, his over-under position to get selected is, like, 21 and
it's
a half.
Going back, yeah.
No one expects him to go any earlier than 21 to the Steelers.
There's a lot of discussions going on in that with New Orleans is that he really wants, Kellen Moore wants skill. He wants some skilled players. And, you know, that's why McMillan was in play for there. Jackson Dart. I kind of felt like it was going to come down to Sanders or Dart. And maybe, you know, I was talking with some people in New Orleans that, like, you know, that, I mean, my own self, I have Sanders over him right now. But I, watching the tape, I could see why people like Jackson Dart. I know, Zach, you know, there's a lot of times you do cross-check, you have Ole Miss offense, and you're like, well, damn, that's a good throw.
He makes some tremendous
he makes
throws.
Some really, really good throws. I could see how Kellen Moore could really like a player like that. And so I, that's not surprised. But I know for a fact that the scouts and the coaches, like the scouts are more about trying to take defensive help, and the coaches are looking more for offensive help, and the coach might win out on this one.
Yeah.
To me, it's just crazy whenever you see, like, a Mitch Trubisky situation coming together like this, you know, where we hadn't heard about the guy. It's not like, wow, you got to watch this guy play college. He's not dominating college. And he's going to be so good that suddenly we got to be taking him inside the top 10. Go trade for Kirk Cousins, okay? Chances of him being better than Kirk Cousins are very low. Chances of him being awful are pretty high. Okay, I don't understand these kinds of, I think it's desperation. I think they start to get FOMO, like if we don't take him here, then another team's going to take him. Like, what are the real odds that Jackson Dart's going to be so good it's going to change your fortunes of your organization?
I think if you're Kellen Moore, you have to have some confidence that he really helped Dak Prescott and he really helped, you know, Jalen Hurts. I think that's his confidence, Dawson.
When a flash in the pan happens for you, you got to accept that as a blessing and not act like, wow, I'm so good, I can do that again.
Well, that's the ego these coaches do have.
Yeah,
they do believe that, you know, like I know, and it's egos with scouts too. We believe that, Jerry Jones is in there beating his chest about, you know, we draft well. Well, in the last couple of years, it's been – the first round, at least, has not been very good. That's the kind of ego and confidence you have. And, you know, Kellen Moore is coming off winning the Super Bowl. And that's I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the things you battle with.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at it as a downgrade from system and play caller going from Lane Kiffin to Kellen Moore, to be quite honest with you. That's one of the interesting things about Dart is you're really having to project him in an offense where, like, can you do things where you're putting the team on your back and obvious passing, just drop back situations? Can you do that? Because so much of the offense at Ole Miss is just, hey, we're going to help you. Here's play action. Here's screen. Here's dump off.
A lot of play action.
Here's an obvious read. Just throw it to this guy. Please, God, just throw it to this guy, Jackson. That's what Lane Kiffin was spoon-feeding him. So it'll be interesting to see how it translates. But the quarterbacks are always interesting.
Do you think he did that with Jalen Hurts a little bit, Kellen Moore, that he tried to make it as easy as possible for him? I mean, is that a good fit in that way? Because we don't think of, like, Jalen Hurts to, like, go out and win me that game guy.
No, but they also just had incredible talent. I think the Eagles, before I'm giving credit to Kellen Moore, I'm giving credit to Howie Roseman and the talent.
Sure.
And then, okay, we can run the ball extremely well. We were never really respecting Kellen Moore's screen game while he was here. Maybe he's gotten better. But I think it was mostly, dude, you had great talent, Kellen Moore, and you just didn't screw it up.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that people are getting loud about right now on the internet in hopes that we don't see, because this has become an ESPN tradition with the way they go about just telling the saddest stories in the world.
The Tom Rinaldi way of football?
Yeah.
Just capitalize on the trauma.
It's just like you got graphics after a guy gets drafted that says his mom contracted and survived West Nile virus in 2012. That's on the player graphic after he gets selected. They're all talking about,
good genes. Strong immune system.
Somebody gets drafted. Dad passed away in 2008 because of heart failure. Dude, did we need to know that on draft night? Is that something? I don't know.
You're about to get one on Travis Hunter. Get ready for this one.
Well, because his dad's
incarcerated and he's allowed to go to Green Bay. So you're probably going to – he talked about his dad in his Heisman speech.
Sure.
So I'm sure you're going to get some type of play on that.
And I don't know that I've ever heard a player, like, complain about it when it's happened. You know, it's like, I guess maybe it's just, hey, it's my story, so it's totally fine to just kind of put that out there. It just feels like a weird deal when you're trying to celebrate a situation and then, boom, on a graphic or they're discussing – one of the saddest things that's happened to a player. I don't know. It just feels like a weird time to, hey, here's the worst thing that's ever happened to this kid.
Remember,
sad's one thing. I think when I cringe, it's like something that would be embarrassing. Like, dad's locked up. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah
fair enough.
Well, McKinley? Who was the guy that Atlanta took? Tack McKinley?
Yeah.
That, like, had the picture of his grandmother.
Oh, we'll hear from Tack coming up at 4:20.
And then Deion was trying to interview him, and
it was buck wild.
It was
crazy, yeah.
But, like, this one, did we need to know about a wide receiver that was drafted to Cincinnati some years ago? His mom fought drug addiction for 16 years?
No, I definitely don't want that.
That's on the graphic.
It's just like, mom fought drugs.
What's the use of that?
Ouch.
Thanks, ESPN. Okay, I would like to rope in Lucius on this because I believe he's the only one that has actually seen the movie Sinners to this point. I mean, you guys have been watching nothing but college tape for a while.
The hope is to go Saturday night.
Okay, Saturday night when the draft hay is in the barn, Walchuk is going to go enjoy himself the Sinners movie in theaters. Now, Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, his fiance is like the lead female actress in this, and there's a lot of intimacy involved in this. You have guys like Sauce Gardner of the Jets right now tweeting out of respect for my dog Josh, I will not be going to see Sinners. A lot of people on the internet are claiming Josh Allen to be one of God's strongest soldiers because of the things that are appearing in this particular movie. Josh Allen is the strongest person on earth. I would have thrown up and cried all the way to the bathroom. One viewer watched and reported on. So I'm just curious, Lucius, like, watching that movie through the lens of that's an NFL quarterback's, I guess, fiance, I mean, that feels like a tough pill to swallow. Dude.
Yeah, it's pretty tough because it's Michael B. Jordan that she's doing all of this with. You know what I mean? And she lays that man down like Jada Stevens at one point. She laid that man all the way down.
Yeah.
I can tell because the old girl that was sitting next with me, my old lady, I could see her squirming a little bit in the seat. And I had to look over at her like, I'm going to snatch that popcorn out your hand if you don't. Calm down.
I believe it, dude. I believe it. Josh Allen, I mean, hey, good for him. He's A-okay with it, but that has to be a weird, like, being his teammate.
Yeah,
you see that movie, and then you're his teammate?
Is there a chance?
It's a weird dynamic. It makes more sense when they're both actors, and just like, hey, it is what it is.
What we do.
Is there a chance that, is this one of her better movies? Has she been in movies that are outstanding that this is, or is she trying to elevate herself into that role? Halle Berry did it with some of her early movies.
Monsters Ball.
The Monster Ball, yeah, stuff like
Hailee
that.
Hailee Steinfeld's big.
Yeah. Oh, she's big?
She's already pretty big.
She was
big.
Already a massive actress.
Okay, she's mad. Okay, I didn't know if this was, she's trying to launch her career kind of a thing.
I mean, I do imagine this is, maybe it's knee jerk, but I think this is the biggest movie she's been in. But she's been in some big roles before.
Yeah. So okay.
This is not like a coming out party for her.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was we're trying to start but something.
This is the most over the top character she's ever played from this particular standpoint, though, as far as I know.
You know, maybe that's how you explain it if it was her. Like, listen,
it's not too over the top. I mean, she just becomes a vampire. So she does like crazy vampire stuff and they have a sex scene.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen said
it's not too crazy. It's just the kissing, though, because there's like, you can see the spit.
It's very intimate. Oof.
When they're kissing, you know what I mean? That type of vibe.
There you go, Walt Chuck.
She's not acting. Have her back.
Was it Carmelo's wife was in Power and is naked and doing sex scenes?
I think at that point they might have been done.
I mean, you know, it's not the first time this is going to happen. It's not the last. It's her profession.
Right. So as a man, you have to decide, is this what I want to sign up for the rest of my life? And the answer should be no. You should tell that woman, listen, I'm happy you go pursue your career. Right, but when you come back from shooting this scene, I'm not going to be here.
Shooting this scene? I'm talking about 6 weeks they're gone together. Maybe 8 weeks together.
Oh. Wow. Got a lot of time to get my stuff out or her stuff out.
Bored together.
We're not continuing.
Hey, let's work on our scenes.
I mean, and there's no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it now. No, you've made the decision to do it. We're done, right?
Yeah. And then not to mention all the promotional things they have to do where they have to maintain that on-screen chemistry together while they promote the movie, and then it's just all
fun.
Why
would you want to sign up for that?
Yeah.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Godspeed, Josh Allen.
I mean, they could do that with AI now, can't they?
They should.
Yeah, that's a good point. They could be able to just AI those things.
Yeah, AI love scenes there, and everybody wins. You still get your
3-2-1 asking if Josh Allen is running for the Koi Award.
The giant goldfish?
Yeah.
The old sea of the year.
That might need to be
old cuckadoodle-doo.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Hadn't thought about that.
I guess he's nominated, but I think that guy, Adam22, wins forever. That's just his award for the rest of eternity.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yep.
We're off and running. One down, three to go. Draft coverage kicking off at 6 o'clock. We'll set you up for everything and get our reactions to one of the greatest nights in Dallas Stars history coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation. Live from Pluckers in Plano on the Fan.